Welcome to Rage You Nerds. I am Mr. Keck, and I am joined by my nephew, Grant, by our friend, TJ, and we are the Nerds, and we are ready to rage on a Thursday. On a Thursday, y'all. Grant, how are you doing, buddy?
Good.
Good, good. Also, Grant, is it your bedtime yet?
Yeah.
Well, all right, that's fair. That's
my bedtime
fair.
Too, so.
It feels like it's my bedtime too, honestly, Grant. Well, it's very good to see you, little guy.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, Grant. Have a good night, buddy.
Okay.
Love you. Go to bed.
And joined by my brother, Jared. We are the Nerds. Let's do what we came here to do, boys. So we've got three little things we're going to get accomplished tonight. Number one, we are going to nerd out on The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. So our two strapping nerd lads watch this film and are ready to discuss it and issue a grade. And then we are going to watch some horror film shorts. And then to cap off everything, we're gonna discuss one nerdy headline right now because it dropped today. We're gonna watch the Masters of the Universe Revelations animation trailer, and then we're going to suss through whatever the crap we just saw and figure out if we're excited or not for this thing. I haven't watched it yet, but like I saw someone's comment was just like, the fudge did I just watch? What did I just... So
that's
interested.
Always uplifting. Always uplifting.
Yep. All right, boys, let's do it. Let's nerd out. Let's nerd out. Let me get rid of the talk nerdy.
Nerd out with your gird out.
Leave the happy hour up. All right, yeah. So we're going to do our tell of the tape, get this covered, and we'll go on to the nerding out. Oh, maybe I should... Should I put on some spooky synthwave music?
There we go, yeah.
All right, so the tell of the tape, June 4th, 2021, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It was released. Director Michael Chavis, distributor Warner Bros., but this is also a New Line film, so New Line produced this. It's always good to see New Line producing horror films. Stars, Patrick Wilson, Vera Farmiga, Rory O'Connor, Sarah Catherine Hook, and Julian Hillard. Runtime 112 minutes, budget 39 million, box office 57.9 million during the Dark Ages. I can't stress this enough. That is big. That is a big deal. So the awards for this is the box office back award. We're giving it to them because I think they might have revitalized it. Rotten Tomatoes score 58. Boo Rotten Tomatoes. Google users 93% have liked this film so far. IMDb 6.5 out of 10. All right, boys, this is Nerding Out, and these are the Nerds.
Well, fellow nerd TJ, it has been weird to do this on a Thursday night due to some other circumstances, not COVID-related, actually, for once. I'll get into the grading system here in a second, but don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We love you. We want more content from you. And we want more input. Do you like what we're doing? Do you disagree with us? We want all that. We want all that. So don't forget, like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment, and don't forget to smash the dinghy. When you smash the dinghy, you will be alerted every time we post one of these videos. It's so great. You don't have to do anything. You just hem-hawing along, and your phone goes ding. You go, hey, Rage You Nerd posted another video. That's what you get when you smash the dinghy. So let's get into it, TJ. The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. This is the third installment of the Conjuring series, and quick synopsis of the film. If you haven't watched it yet, this is huge spoilers. We're going to spoil the whole thing. So if you have watched it, you'll be right there with us. If you haven't watched this, turn it off right now because I'm about to ruin it for you. So Ed and Lorraine Warren, this is their third chance at casting out a demon. This time they do it out of a little boy, and the little boy, the demon that is in the little boy, takes over his future uncle, but in some dormant form. Almost 2 years later, the demon comes out to play. Turns out all of this is done by some woman who is into some witchcraft and leaves these totems for the victims. Lorraine somehow finds this out through her telepathic phenomenon, and then one of her visions, there's a huge naked fat man who comes back to life and chases people. They figure out who's behind it, and they send that bitch to hell. So that's it in a nutshell. And our rating scale, what we have, Mr. Cack, if you'd like to throw it up there, we have what we call the meat. The meat is the plot, the story, genre, writing, runtime, and special effects. It's worth 30 points. We give each of those categories 5 points apiece. Entertainment, plain and simple. Was it entertaining or was it not entertaining? It's worth 25 points. Acting, 25 points. Speaks for itself. Was the acting good or was it? Ending, big part for me. You have to sell the ending, and the ending is worth 20 points, and then we give it a grand total of total points, which is 100, and away we go. So, me and TJ were discussing this earlier. This is one of the first ones that we've done where we are actually, we're not on opposite sides, but we did not like it as much as the other one. So, TJ, let's take it step by step. I thought the plot was pretty solid. There were a lot of questions in there, but it kept up with what was going on. It usually a horror plot will falter, but it didn't here. It was still there. I enjoyed it. Like it, and you didn't enjoy it as much as I do. So what? And I gave it plot 5 out of 5. So TJ, what do you think?
I gave it a 3 out of 5. And the plot, you know, yes, like the Warrens investigating the witch and everything. That plot held through start to finish. However, there was a second plot, and that was the possession.
Right.
That plot really, it felt like it could have been part of a separate movie. So I gave it 3 out of 5 on this one. It's just, it felt like I was watching two movies.
Right. And I think that's where the story has, that's where I notch it down a bit. I gave it 4 out of 5 on the story, because the story, for the first time, this, we see a demonic venture by a human being the cause of all the trouble. All the Annabelles and Conjuring so far have been 100% demonic. It is something demonic related. There's nobody else necessarily involved, like a protagonist in a way. There's been people involved, but not a protagonist that is causing all the trouble. It is a doll. It is some artifact, and it causes people, and so on and so forth. I liked that idea. I don't feel like they pulled it off as well, but they pulled it off enough to give it a 4 out of 5. How did you feel about that? Were you with me on the story? Like, we kind of discussed it. You thought the story was there, but it had some holes.
Yeah, it did have some holes. I give it a 3 out of 5. And part of the story is the fact that they're fighting that corporeal person, you know?
Right.
They're mainly trying to get to this person who's causing all of this, instead of like the other two movies were really kind of focused on, you know, the hauntings of, you know, certain people within the house is the reason it's causing this. There wasn't that corporeal villain, so to speak, you know, and this one had it. Another issue I had with the story is like, you know, you create this character for them to go to find out about the witchcraft, but then you make the villain the character's child.
Right. Yeah. That was, it, you know, seemed so like they gave up almost. It's like, well, how do we do that? Well, let's make it his dad.
Yeah, it's like, well, where do we find him? Well, how about we go back to the same place where we were when we learned about it?
Right.
So,
yeah. So genre wise horror, I felt like this scored the horror points. It got it plain and simple. It had all the elements of hoarder. It had all the elements of Hoarder, which is a show on the History Channel. Had all the elements of horror without, you know, and I differentiate horror from slasher. Horror is kind of a category I describe, like it doesn't have to be everybody dies or are you scared. Horror has to scare you. And not the necessarily the jump scares, and we'll get into that in a minute. But, like, just the overall kind of creepiness of the movie, it definitely did it for me. Like, there were several points in the movie where I was like, that just makes me feel all kind of weird. So, horror movie, and I guess they might list it as a thriller, too. But it definitely lives up to horror. So, I gave that a 5 out of 5. And I can't remember. I don't have your review pulled up because I forgot to charge my laptop again. but so where are you at on genre, TJ? Did this encapsulate a horror movie for you?
Yeah, this was a horror movie through and through. I gave it a 5 out of 5. I mean, it held its course. It didn't try to take it into something else like some do. It held its course straight through. So it definitely 5 out of 5 on genre.
So where I kind of I gave the writing a 5 out of 5. The more I think about it, once the new is kind of worn off, I'd actually probably back that off to a 3 out of 5. I felt like it was really good, but it kind of drawn it out. I feel like, you know, and this gets into runtime. We'll kind of combine this. I feel like the runtime could have been 15 minutes shorter on this movie and still would have got the same thing out. It never left you bored or questioning much, and it flowed well, but there were just, going back into the story, it just kind of felt like, well, okay, like, I felt like that could have been explored more, and then there are certain things where it's kind of like, well, hang on now, where did they get that idea from? You know, it's, and it all has to go back to her being a clairvoyant, and things just come to her, to where, and this movie is, the runtime on this is what, 2 hours and 51 minutes? It's a long movie.
2 hours and 51 minutes?
Was
no.
It? What was it?
1 hour and 51 minutes. 1 hour and 51 minutes.
If it was 2 hours and 51 minutes, I don't think I could take it. 1 hour and 51 minutes. So I think you back that off and get it to the 1.5-hour range. Cut a little bit of stuff out of there that I don't want to say that doesn't need to be there, but you know, you can trim seconds off scenes and really save some time in a lot of these things. But overall, I thought it was good. 4 out of 5 for the runtime. Special effects, there wasn't a whole lot, but it's what we would expect for a horror movie. And I think you said something about the special effects too. It was kind of pretty much on point with me. It's kind of like, well, it's what it needed to be.
Yeah, you know, you can clearly tell it's like, it's all CGI. Like, nothing was practical effects. You know, even to the people doing the contortions and all that stuff. I mean, special effects, I mean, it's CGI completely, but it looked good compared to some movies, so I gave it a 4 out of 5. Writing and runtime each got a 3 out of 5 for me, and mainly because, like you said, there's could have been 15 or so minutes of the movie that they cut out. They honestly could have cut out the whole, like, exorcism at the first of it and the other guy getting possessed and just literally had them investigating these witch totems that are being left around and these victims. And it had been, you know, just as good of a movie.
I don't feel like they should have left it out so much as I feel like, cause I mean, that's the first 20 minutes of the movie almost.
Maybe not 20.
It's 10 minutes good though.
Yeah, you know, it was a good part of the movie, but, you know, they could have expanded on the investigation some because, I mean, right, it was just, you know, to the point where it was, you know, it's like, hey, we need to find this. So they go and find this, and we need to go find this. So they go and find this. And it's just really easy for them to find, you know, the stuff. You know, the movie The Devil Made Me Do It, I mean, it's...
Hi, Jack.
It's... you know, literally based on the story of, like, was it the first murder trial with the...
Yes.
You know, the plea of...
The plea of demonic possession.
The plea of demonic possession. So it really kind of felt like they wanted to do that, but there wasn't a whole lot of story there, so they had to expand on all this extra stuff. So, like I said, if you could have done a good, like, lawyer movie with the demonic possession trial, and it's still been good. And you could have done a separate movie with, you know, this let's hunt a witch thing.
So real quick on that, we get to where we always Hollywood it up. So fun fact about this movie, Arnie, the character who was actually on trial, who is a real person. So what actually happened in this particular case, that demonic possession defense, the judge actually threw it out. And, immediately, like, they didn't show that so they changed their mind and went with self-defense, so which doesn't make for as an exciting but so a little bit on that. And so if you didn't know that, it's kind of like, well, why don't we just stick with that and we'll keep shooting that he's fighting this trial on, you know, demonic possession. But that was a bit of Hollywood. They did plead that, but it was thrown out immediately, and so that wasn't their actual stand. So and Artie was convicted. And which, regardless of your feelings on demons and whether or not they do or do exist, he did marry what's her face, and I mean, all the parts of that, they got married while he was in prison. But yeah, so going back to that, there are some holds there too where I'm kind of with you. Now, here's where we get to another part of it worth 25 points. Entertainment. Was this movie entertaining or not? Heck yes, it was. Just like the rest of these movies, it keeps you guessing until the end and keeps you wanting more. There weren't as many jump scares as the first two, but little things are good. Like when the lawyer, and we talked about this, when the lawyer spends a visit at the Warren's house. So there's a scene in the movie, spoiler alert, where the Warrens are like, hey, we want you to plead his defense as demonic possession. She's like, that's never been done before successfully. And the Warrens are like, tell you what, in the thick Connecticut accents, come over to our house, spend a night with Annabelle. We'll cook you dinner. And then in the morning, you can decide what you want to do. And the lawyer's like, oh, you're so on. And the very next scene is in the courtroom. And the look on her face, she is so dejected and upset. And she looks like she just pooped on herself. And it's just kind of like, it was one of the funniest movies. And that's what made it. It's kind of like, oh, she's met Annabelle, has she? She's visibly terrified and stressed. This is also, like I said before, the first one in the series where the human element has been the cause of all the trouble. It really gets into like satanic ritualistic kind of things. Where before, even in the first Conjuring, there was a satanic ritual thing going on, but it was the previous people who were in the house. They weren't the main protagonist. The main protagonists were long gone. Even in the second one, I think it had to do, I know there was a radio involved and some old guy. Second one really, I didn't like it as much. The first one was absolutely amazing though. But anyways, it just, the one thing, I keep going back to this big, beefy naked guy chasing people around. It just kind of was one of those, and it happened a couple times. I'm like, there's just something about, show of hands here, TJ. Would you want to be chased around by a 6'8" giant naked man who weighs 450, something like that? He's naked.
No.
He's chasing you and he's dead. Would you like that? No. So entertainment for me, yes, it was absolutely. I gave it a 23 out of 25 for entertainment. TJ, your thoughts. Did this movie entertain you? Or not?
You know, I have originally had a 17, but I bumped it up to a 19 out of 25 just for the courtroom scene that we were discussing. You know, it didn't have, like you said, it didn't have a lot of the jump scares that you had, and it really did focus on a corporeal threat, you know, the human threat. But I mean, as far like it was definitely entertaining, but it got deducted some points because it didn't feel like a Conjuring movie. You know, you have a witch that possesses a dead person, turns him into a zombie, essentially chasing after him. You know, like the times that you do see her, she moves with like superhuman abilities,
which I felt odd.
It did feel odd. And they also really kind of gave Lorraine Warren like superhuman abilities. Like she can touch something and immediately see where it's been and go to it and like even, you know, project herself into someone else's mind, apparently. So, but like you said, Hollywooding it up quite a bit. I just lost my train of thought. Oh, it was entertaining. Okay. I gave it a 19 out of 25.
That's entertaining enough. So let's move on to the acting. And this is another thing that we kind of so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to hit everybody. By the way, if you're still here watching, like, comment, and subscribe, and smash that dinghy. If you like us, we'll know it. If you comment, you can tell us where we're all wrong about this and how, TJ, you darn said that, and that's not right. Or, Jared, you're an idiot, and what they was trying to do was this. Yes, please tell us. Tell us why we're wrong. But if you like us, tell us why we're right, too. And subscribe so you can see more of these. Smash the dinghy. If you smash the dinghy, we'll notify you every time we post one of these. So do that. So, acting. This is where we varied a little bit. And I think maybe why our grades kind of varied so much here is that I graded this on not so much whether it was a Conjuring movie, but a horror movie, except for the acting thing, where I was like, this is totally Conjuring. So Vera Farmiga Patrick Wilson were made for these two roles as Ed and Lorraine Warren, or, well, I guess it would be Lorraine and Ed, if I want to use proper grammar. They never disappoint, but Rory, I think his name, I think it's pronounced Rory O'Connor. It's just spelled all weird. Rory as Arnie sold me. I don't know what this young man did, but just something about the way he played a possessed and scared person. It takes, I would put, and he'll never get the credit for this because the Joker's character is more sophisticated, but like, I put them right up there with Heath Ledger. Like, he sold his part, and you felt his pain. You felt every bit of it, and just how it was hurting, affecting his girlfriend and his little baby nephew who was, you know, and there's one scene where he's in prison and they kind of connect with each other, and you know, the kid's like, I understand, you're cold all the time, it's this, it's that, and it's like, he kind of has a moment of realization, like, yeah, I guess I'm possessed, damn it. So he, to me, I thought Patrick Wilson and Vera were great, but this Rory O'Connor, to me, he knocked this out of the park as far as that part of the movie. Like TJ said, we really have two movies going on. But big shout out to John Noble, who never disappoints as a bad guy. And in this one, he's a priest. It's like, hey, we need a bad guy. Oh, yes, sure. I can play a bad guy. What am I playing in this one? Well, you're going to be a priest. Okay. And he's not really a bad guy, but like, he wasn't really forthcoming the first time they kind of talked to him, where he could have just been like, oh, yes, that's my daughter, and she's crazy. She lives over here in Jethro Road. You know, he was like, oh, I've seen these things before, but I don't know anything about it. He comes clean, though. TJ, you gave the acting a little bit less. I gave it 25 out of 25. I was just saying it. 25 out of 25. Perfect score. You didn't think so, TJ. Why not?
You know, I mean, it was fine for what it was. Patrick Wilson, Vera Farmiga, Rory O'Connor were great. If it was just them three in a movie, I would have given it a 25 out of 25. The supporting cast is really kind of where it fell. So whoever was playing the daughter, just I don't know.
The daughter is in Rory's girlfriend or is in Judy? Because Judy's only in there for like a minute.
No, the John Noble's daughter.
Oh, that real skinny girl with a sunken face who looked like she's been possessed by the devil. That one?
Yeah. So that just her acting just didn't really sit well with me for some reason. It's just,
how did you get here?
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of like, you know, very stale. John Noble, you know, he's been in a ton of stuff. He's been around for a while.
Too much to even name. I was going to, but then I was like, nah, he's in too much. I can't narrow this down.
His performance in this really reminded me of Fringe.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But not as in so much the, I can't even remember his character's name in Fringe. Not as much as Timmy in Fringe. I'm scrolling through IMDb real quick to see if I can find it. Just for a couple of things that he says in it just reminded me of that character. Everything else was just, I mean, it honestly kind of felt phoned in. Yeah, Dr. Bishop. So there's a couple of lines that he says that it just really kind of reminded me. I was like, hey, he's playing Dr. Bishop. Oh, wait, no, he's not. But so like the supporting cast, you know, I'm never going to give acting 100, like a 25 out of 25, mainly because they do have, you know, casts do have multiple people in it. And some of them, like the landlord, was it Bruno?
Yes, Bruno.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
swear
sure
he's
acting,
been in so many other things, but like he's not. But he just doesn't he look like your neighbor? You know, like, that guy's like, that's the guy that owns a laundromat.
Yeah, you know, and you know, for him, like, it's just I'm sure the acting direction was just act stupid.
Act like Kid Rock. Go out there and act like Kid Rock.
Yeah, you know.
Here's a beer.
So that, you know, 19 out of 25 acting, you know, the main cast did great. Supporting actors, obviously, there's not a lot of focus on them. So when people do phone it in, it does kind of show. and it does feel like some of them phoned it in.
I agree. It felt that, but I guess I felt like, and again, my bias towards The Conjuring, because I love
it. Oh. Like, especially like Father Gordon and the other Father Newman.
Yeah.
Like, the priests just, they're really kind of just nonchalant about the whole thing. It's like, hey, this is an exorcism. Let's go ahead and do it.
We're about to perform an exorcism. Well, do you love Jesus? Yeah. What?
Just be sure that you hold the legs down, because they're going to kick you.
He's going to kick you. Just make sure you hold his legs.
I mean,
yeah, they did feel like they were going through motions. It's like, hey, you, can you play a priest? Well, I suppose so. All right, hop in. Have you ever played a priest on in a movie before? No. All right. Well, here's a collar thing. Here's a Bible. Here's some water. I want you to splash it on him and be emphatic when you do it. Power of Christ compels you. Power of Christ compels. Okay. So it was a little bit better than that, but you get the point. So the ending, TJ. Yep. I really wanted to set up to the next one, but they don't have one because this is the end, and it's the last planned one that I know, which is disappointing, but fair. Three Conjurings, three Annabelles. I say we did it. I just wish we'd, and I gave it 19 out of 20. I'm backing out of that now. I'm gonna give it like a 12 out of 20, which screws up. I don't know what I've rated this thing now. It's a B somewhere. It's somewhere in the Bs. It's 87, yeah. 88, something like that. It was disappointing, and I got this off of yours, because when I wrote this, I was like, it was disappointing, but that's okay. And then I read your review, and I was like, no, I'm mad, damn it. I feel like The Conjuring should have gone out with way more fireworks, and it wasn't there. It wasn't there. I feel like they blew the ending. They blew it.
Yeah. So
everything just stops. Everything just stops, and he walks into the basement. He's like, well, here's a relic I found. And the credits roll, and they show, like they do some from the other Conjuring movies, the real family, the real people, and all that. So
it was very anticlimactic. I gave it a 15 out of 20. You know, I mean, you set it up from the start of the movie like, hey, this guy's possessed. He kills somebody. He's going to plead, you know. That the devil made me do it. And then they go on this big adventure where they track down this witch and everything. And then it finally gets to the end of the movie after they vanquish the witch. And then they're like, it cuts to the courtroom and it's like, you're tried guilty. And it's like, well, then why did you even have that part in there to begin with? Like, if the whole time it was going to be like, we're going to get you off on this. Don't worry. It's going to be great. And then it's like, guilty. And it's like, oh, okay. So...
had a very
and then it's just, it was anticlimactic. I mean, it's just kind of ended, you know, like
it almost had a Few Good Men's vibe feel about it, where like Tom Cruise comes in all 5'3" of him and gives this speech to, you know, the Joker, and at the end of it, it's just kind of like they throw it out there and they get the guy to admit that he ordered a code red. You're damn right I did. So then they do this other thing and it's like, all right, how does the jury feel? Guilty. And you're like...
Yeah, then why did we have this whole... Like I said,
what did I just movies. Watch 2.5 hours two for movies. To find them
it's
guilty?
It's like you start watching a movie, and then you change the channel, and when that movie's over, you change it back, and then the other movie's just ending, and then you catch that ending. That's what this movie is.
Oh, yeah. So final thoughts on this. It was everything I expected, but I felt like it was... there was just so much left off. The storytelling... there was more storytelling and less demons. It didn't leave you totally it didn't have a totally frightening element like the previous two, but it made up for it by telling a good story, which kept it entertaining. And I think that's kind of where I'm at. It's like, well, it's not the same as the rest of them. It's they changed it up some, but the story is still good. And keep in mind, when we talk story and writing, so how I think of story is like the overall story. Does it flow from start to finish? The story was good. The writing was good. Now, here's where I come in with the writing. The writing is every time we have, think of a wavelength, up and down. And we're point A and we're going to point B. And in the middle is the wavelength. That's the story. Every crest of those is the writing. So, in a perfect movie, you have a perfect little wavelength. In this one, you had like, kind of did that. So the writing did not help the story. I think that's where this is the crux for me, is like the writing got in the way of the story. You got a good story. It's there. You're telling two different stories. You got a possessed guy, and you've got them trying to find the people who's trying to put the totems in people to possess them. You've got two good stories. You're attempting to combine them into one. All we need to do is get a little writing to bring it together, and they just didn't do it. Having said that, I still loved the movie. It was we're trashing on it hard, but I loved it. I watched it twice. I went back and watched it again. I was like, hey, there's a couple other things I want to elaborate on. Did he really get chased by a fat naked guy? Yes, he did.
At least twice.
Just the same as the last two. I would watch this again if I'm flipping through channels. This is on. I'm watching it because I love. It's really Vera and Patrick. It really is. And in this case, the Rory or Rauri. I don't know. He's not Japanese. He's American, I think. Anyways, I looked all this up because when I read his name, I was like, that looks like Rory. We're going with Rory. So he could be Irish. It looks like an Irish spelling, and that's not because of O'Connor, but it looks like an Irish spelling. Anyways, like, comment, and subscribe. TJ, real quick, hang on. TJ, your final thoughts. I can't just not give my final thoughts and not let TJ give his final thoughts. What are your final thoughts, TJ? Okay.
Good night, folks.
Good night.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it could have been better, but it was good. It is kind of disappointing, like end of a trilogy. But it was still good. I'd still watch it again. I'd go back and watch it a couple more times, even if it was on TV, or I'd even buy like the DVD set or something when it comes out. Who am I kidding? I'd buy it on digital.
Yeah, we don't. What's a DVD?
Ooh, it's like I don't have room for right DVDs.
So the scene just before that, you had up the little David. He's on a waterbed. That was one that got me, and I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. He's like, let's jump on the waterbed here. Ooh, there's something touching me through this waterbed. I was like, no, kid, don't do it. I know what's going to happen. But the little kid did anyway. He screamed. I screamed.
So just to clarify, Rory O'Connor is from Dublin, Ireland.
Rory. It is so Rory. And the only reason I know that is because of his cousin, Rory McIlroy, who's a golfer. Okay, they're not cousins, and they don't spell their name the same. Anyways, no. Speaking of golf, how about golf? No, anyways, that's another night. Well, there it is. That is The Conjuring. The Devil Made Me Do It. Do you think me and TJ were spot on? Do you think we were full of crap? Like, comment, and subscribe. Let us know what you think. Did we get it wrong? Did we get it right? Do you agree with TJ, who's an idiot, or do you agree with me, who's also an idiot? I don't really know. Like, comment, and subscribe. That's the only way we're going to know is if you like, comment, and subscribe. But you know what? If you don't smash that dinghy, you'll never know when we post anything else, so you can come back and say, like, no, you guys still got it wrong. So smash that dinghy. Like, comment, and subscribe. This is Rage You Nerds Movie Review. TJ, good night, sir.